Well, good evening, everyone. You're very welcome to your gospel service this evening. Thank you for coming. Trust you will be blessed through it. Welcome also to those who are able to listen in online. Pray to you that you know not Christ as your Saviour. This may be the night when you come and put your simple trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to commence our service. And hymn is, I spent years in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for he died on Calvary. We're on the screen. Keep your seats, please. Thank you. Okay, thank you for singing so well. Just let's now settle ourselves, still our hearts, and ask God to be one of our number this evening, that he has promised to do. We may know his blessing through his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we just bow very humbly before thee. And thank thee, O God, again for this opportunity just to sound forth the gospel. It's a new gospel hour. It's a new opportunity for men and women and for boys and girls just to simply put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, our Father, we thank thee that this evening that you are amongst us, our Father. We thank thee again, our Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from heaven's glory down to Calvary, died the death and paid the price for our redemption. And so our Father, this evening would be our desire that someone would come and simply, by childlike faith, put their trust in him. Father, we thank thee, O God, again for up and down our little province this evening that will be, servants will be faithful. We just pray there might be that in-gathering this evening, O God. Realize the time is short, eternity is sure. Soon thou art coming, O God, I'll be forever too late. I would simply ask, O God, again, that none would spurn their day of opportunity, O God, but that all would come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Lord, we thank thee for household salvation, and yet there are so many of your children's children, Lord, and they're not saved this evening. They're in other places tonight, our Father. We simply ask, O God, again, that there might be a turning back, a coming back to the Father's house, Lord. We ask, O God, again, that there might be a movement of the Spirit of God in hearts in these days, Lord. Lord, just move men and women and boys and girls, our Father, as they look around them and see the time approaching, see the circumstances, see the situation, our Father, realize, O God, again, that you're coming soon, and it's time they put their trust in the Savior. Time they came back. They wandered far away from thee, O God. And we ask, O God, again, that there might be even this evening, those in the sound of our hearing, Lord, might come back to the Savior. So, Lord, just bless your servant this evening. Thank you for Martin, Lord. Thank you for his ministry this morning, our Father. We bless and comfort it through it, O God. We just simply ask this evening that you will indeed be everything to him, our Father, as he opens up the Scripture, as he sounds forth the gospel. We ask, O God, again, that you'll bless him in his own heart and his own soul. Father, the mission he's involved in Grey Abbey as well, our Father. We just pray there too, as many homes have been visited, Lord. We just simply ask, O God, again, in these days, our Father, as the gospel will go forth, Lord, we pray there too, there might be those who will come to the Savior. So, Lord, we just look to thee, our Father, now. Just bless us as we continue in your presence, in our Savior's lovely, precious, and peerless name. We ask these things. Amen and amen. Well, I'll say to you now, we come and give us the announcements. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, Bertie. Can I add my welcome to that of Bertie's as well? Good to see you in the meeting this evening. And to those of you joining us online, you're welcome in the Lord's name. Welcome also again to our brother Martin Thompson. Enjoyed the word this morning, and I trust he'll know the Lord's help as he preaches the word tonight. And let's pray for him and the others as they preach in the mission down in Grey Abbey. Wednesday evening at 8 p.m., join us if you can for a prayer and Bible study. Pastor Moffat will be with us again to preach the word. Next Lord's Day, the service is as usual, 11:30 and 6:30, preceded by prayer, and again Pastor Moffat will be preaching all day. After the gospel service next week, the Youth Fellowship will meet, and our sister Sharon Moore will be giving a word of testimony. Now, as I mentioned this morning, regarding next Lord's Day, we are planning to remember the Lord around the table after the main service, as was our custom before lockdown. The emblems will be distributed, albeit with further precautions in place. So bear that in mind, if you can, please, for next week. Communion will follow the service and not be integrated into the main part of the service as it was already today. Now, I did mention this morning Children's Day service, and that will be on the 23rd of May. I think I said 6:30. It will be 11:30. So Children's Day will be at 11:30, and that's in 2 weeks' time. These are the announcements, and they're made subject to the Lord's will. Now, we've known Joy Boyd for some time. She sang with us here quite a few times, and Joy is going to sing a lovely piece for us just now entitled Wonderful Grace That Gives What I Don't Deserve, Pays Me What Christ Has Earned, Then Lets Me Grow Free. What a lovely piece, and Joy's going to sing that for us just now, and then Martin will come and preach the word. I lay out
Okay, just invite Martin now to come and read the scriptures and bring the message. Thank you. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Bertie. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for the words of welcome. And it is indeed my pleasure to be here sharing fellowship with you again today. And it's good to see some friends also in the meeting this evening. This morning I asked you for prayer for the mission that was commencing in Grey Abbey this afternoon. I'm glad to say it has gone well and a goodly number gathered in, and we ask you to continue to pray. I find also in recent missions, even before COVID, that a lot of the work is done around the doors. And we've had great times around the doors as we prepared for the mission. We've not mentioned any facts or any details, but two ladies under great conviction of sin, and we pray that they will come through, and we ask you to pray that they will also come through and we revisit them during this week. So just pray much for the mission in these days, and we'll be faithful and we'll be appreciative of your prayers. Now this evening we're turning in the Word of God, first of all, to James chapter 4 for one verse. The little epistle of James, just tucked in there before the first epistle of Peter. And I want to read just one verse, the verse number 14. And then away back to the book of Genesis, we'll take chapter 5 and just the first five verses. So James chapter 4, verse 14, and then the first five verses of Genesis chapter 5. And I want to say this evening in reality that I'm here with a message that I'm on a subject that doesn't bring me any pleasure to speak on, but nevertheless, I must be faithful to the word that the Lord has laid on my heart. And it's a sad and a serious and a solemn subject, and something that will come to all of us one day if the Lord tarries. And during this pandemic, every day we've had reports of how many died the previous day and the previous period and so on. But the reality is that it is something that will come to us all, something everyone must face. And it's the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart this evening. I want to speak on the subject of death. But before we do so, perhaps you would like to stand while we read and consider what God would say to us through his precious word. Let's all stand, please. James 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 5, please. And we're just reading the first five verses together, please. And it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begot sons and daughters. And there's the answer to any critic and heretic that will come along and say, where did they get their children from? Adam had sons and daughters, and of course we're in a different dispensation then. Verse 5. And here's what we're after. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, incorruptible, and inexhaustible word of truth. Now, before we sit down again, can we have a brief word of prayer, please, and then we'll let you say it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for what has gone in this meeting already this evening. Thank thee for the song of Zion that we've sung together. We thank thee, there were, for many of us, we can say, years we spent in vanity and praying. But we thank thee for the cross and the transformation in our life. Thank thee for what joy has brought, and Lord, we thank thee for the amazing grace of our great God. But now, Lord, we pray that thou will meet every need that is in this meeting. We pray that you'll meet the preacher's need. Bring to his remembrance everything given in the quiet place. And help to bring this subject and handle it tenderly and carefully. And Lord, we pray that you will meet the need of the preacher. But we pray for every listener's need this evening, whether they're online or in the house. Lord, we pray that thou would help us to set aside the things of the day that has gone. Help us to set aside the things of tomorrow that lie ahead. Help us to give heed and to listen to the voice of God and the Word of God. Lord, we would pray now as the Word of God goes forward that you would give deciding grace and save any that need saved this evening. We ask it all to the great glory and honour of the man of Calvary. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The end of verse 5 of Genesis chapter 5, it says, "And he died." And if you took time to read the whole of Genesis chapter 5, 9 times you would find those 3 words, "And he died." The sad finality that comes to all men. Should the Lord Jesus tarry his coming to receive his church unto himself, every one of us must face the solemn and sad prospect of death. The last year, our last 14 months, death has been all around because of this pandemic. Told every day how many have died. And the horrific scenes in India at the moment, and Brazil and across this world. And for so many, tragically, "And he died." And it will come to every one of us, that certain day, the reality, the finality that will be written over every single one of us. "And he died," or "she died." Of course, the phrase occurs 83 times in the Word of God. It appears 83 times of the good, of the bad, of the religious, of the evil. It doesn't matter who or what we are in life. It doesn't matter our standing in society. All must die. Indeed, only 2 have escaped it. Enoch, in Genesis 5, verse 24, if you read it down, and of course Elijah, both of whom God took home to be with him. So tonight, as I stand before you, I want to address the solemn, the somber, the serious, the sad subject of death. Death, which is the king of terrors. Death, which is the terror of kings. Now, right at the start, I want to state that I am most definitely not trying to frighten anyone. I'm not here on a sadistic ego trip. I'm not being morbid for the sake of it. But this message, I can assure you, comes right at the start, or comes from a heart of love, a heart that is concerned, and a desire to ensure that all are properly prepared for the eventuality of death and the eventuality of eternity. And I want you to consider your latter end tonight. I want you to prepare for eternity. And that is my motive tonight. And while I bring this subject before you, I will be as faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as I must be. But I will also be as sensitive as I possibly can be. Some people in the past have said the following regarding death. John Blanchard said that death is the greatest fact of life. So it is. Samuel Waldron said that death is not a spectator sport. All of us must participate. One has said men may live in crowds, and we do, and it's great to see a crowd gathering in the house of God tonight. Men may live in crowds, but they die one by one. Those who have welcomed Christ may welcome death. You see, for me this evening, death is not something to fear. Death will be the vehicle that takes me into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved me, the one who died for me. While my bounds are set, if he comes, great. If he comes to the air, great. But anything that befalls me is only the vehicle that takes me home to him. The Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, said, "He who does not prepare for death is not an ordinary fool. He is a total madman." And friends, to prepare for everything, but not to prepare for the latter end, makes a total madman. The first thing I want you to notice about death tonight is what death is. Death is real and it's sure. The fact of death, the totality of death. As you know, I was a former bank manager. I love numbers. Let me give you a statistic tonight. One in one. 10 in 10 days. 100 in 100 will die. 1,000 in 1,000 will die. 100% must die. And the reality for me tonight, as it is for you, if the Lord Jesus tarries his coming to the air to take his church home, then, as in the way Elijah and Enoch were, then the reality this evening is 100% will die. And I should say at this stage, he's only coming for those who know him. For those who have come and bowed their knee. Keep the evangelical jargon out of it. Those who have come and cried, "Lord, save me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." It doesn't have to be a long, flowery, eloquent prayer. Peter was sinking in the sea one day. He said this somewhere recently. I might even have been here this morning. Peter was sinking in the sea one day. He didn't have time for a long, flouncy, eloquent prayer. He was going to drown. He just cried, "Lord, save me." 3 words. The Lord heard him and the Lord saved him. And tonight, if you cry that prayer and mean it from your heart, he'll save you too. But he's only coming for those who have had such an experience. And if you miss it tonight and he comes to the air, and 2 Thessalonians 2 makes it abundantly plain, you can't be saved after that point. Because you've heard the gospel, you refuse to believe the truth, and you'll believe the lie of Antichrist. Friends, come now. But if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries that day, and he goes beyond our natural lifespan, then 100% will die. Death is absolutely certain. The fact, the totality. What about the timing? Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 verse 2 says, "A time to be born and a time to die." We read in James chapter 4 verse 14 that it points out that our life is just like a vapor. Here one moment, and gone the next, and vanished away. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 7 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." Men and women and young people tonight, the reality is, whether we like it or not, we soon fade away. The old must die, and the young can die. And just like the vapor vanishes, just like the flower fades and the grass withers, our days are numbered. There's a date. Don't know what it is. There's a year. There's a month. There's a day, there's an hour, there's a minute, and there's a second that's it appointed that Martin Thompson will go the way of all flesh. And there's one with your name on it. But tonight, have you prepared for that day, for that minute, for that second? Prophet Amos in chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, prepare to meet thy God. I wonder tonight what preparation you've made for eternity. Can you point to a time when you cried, Lord, save me? Or tonight are you still in your sin and in danger of being suddenly cut off and lost? Will you come and call on his name tonight? The fact of death. But what about the finality of death? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 5 and verse 7 says, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God. The mourners will go about the streets, but where will you be? Have you left any testimony behind tonight that there was a time when you trusted Christ as your Savior? Or will you make their mourning worse because they'll go about the streets not knowing of any evidence that you've trusted Christ and that you are lost for all eternity? The mourners will go about the streets. And tonight, death is final. It's irreversible. The moment we take our last breath, we are finished with earth. There are no second chances. There are no second opportunities. There will be no fresh opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no opportunity to put right the wrongs of the first time around. No opportunity to repent. No second chance to receive Christ. No second chance to be born again of the Spirit of God. Or to keep it simple, no second chance to cry, Lord, save me. No second chance to enter into heaven. Things done in life are the things which will be done. Preparation for eternity must be done now. And the Word of God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, this sir, this madam, this young person is the day of salvation. The finality of it is that our standing of Christ in death will be our standing for eternity. One life, one death. What preparation have you made for that death tonight? Which could be tonight. You need to prepare. Now is the time to prepare for death and eternity. Will you come and call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, our choice is simple tonight. Trust Christ and die once. Or reject Christ and die twice, because you'll have the spiritual death. What will you do tonight? Come and call on him, receive him, or say, no, I will not have this man to reign over me. The fact, the finality. But what about the foolishness? People prepare for all sorts of things. Young people tonight are preparing for exams and GCSEs and A-levels and university exams and all the rest of it. People prepare for clothing or a hairdo for a night out. I suppose if you can get a hairdo in these days, but the reality is people prepare for a night out. People prepare for a holiday and the plan where they're going and when they're going and how they get there and what they're going to do when they're there and so on. People prepare for Christmas and they buy all the presents and the turkey and all the rest of it. people prepare for career progression, and they prepare for job interviews, and they prepare for marriage, and they prepare to move home, and they prepare to change a car. Some take out a life policy for a daughter's wedding down the line. And people prepare for 1,001 other things. But sad that so few prepare for eternity. What preparation have you made for eternity tonight? Hebrews 9 and verse 27 tells me, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." After this, the judgment. Death is not the end. Death leads to judgment. Now, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings us judgment for our service. We'll never be judged for sin. That was dealt with at Calvary the moment we came to Christ. But for the unbeliever, for the one who has never had the experience of coming and asking God for his so great salvation, putting their faith in Christ, putting their faith in the finished work of the cross, and depending on nothing else, and realizing on them there dwelleth no good thing, judgment comes for their sin. Sin which must be punished. In Northern Ireland today, the reality is people don't like the word sin. People see it as an ugly word, a dirty word, a vile, and something that is much beneath them. I'm above that. Don't you dare call me a sinner. And people puff themselves up. I'm a good person. I do this and I do that, and I pay my taxes and I give money to charity. I do no anybody a harm. How dare you call me a sinner tonight? But the reality is, sir or madam, that's what this book, this is what God sees every man as tonight. What if God tells me in Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Oh, three little letters, A-L-L, doesn't leave anybody out, none excluded, none missed out, no exceptions, no special cases. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a single one, friend, tonight. So if you want to fall out with me, that's your prerogative. But ultimately, I didn't write this book. This is the word of God. And tonight, whether you like it or not, you're in your sin. And your sin will take you to a lost eternity unless you bring it to Christ. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will make you stay longer than you want to stay. And friend, tonight, sin will take you to a lost eternity unless you bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin. No one had to teach us to lie. No one had to teach us to talk behind somebody else's back. Nobody had to teach us to lust and to covet, or to look at things and to listen to things and do things we ought not to do. These things are sin. They'll take you further than you want to go, and they'll take you to lost eternity. I said at the start, I would be honest. God gives a list of how he sees things. I hadn't intended to turn to it, but turn with me away over to Revelation chapter 21, please. The book of the Revelation, and of course the title of the book is given in chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not Revelations, it's not the revelation of John the Vine, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a single revelation. But in chapter 21 and verse 8, God gives a list of how he sees things and how he views sin. And look at it this evening, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you notice the list? What's second on it? unbelieving, before their murders and all this other stuff. And friend, tonight, to put it simply, if there's never been a time when you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never come and trusted Him, if you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, or to keep it simple, there's never been that cry when you've, or time when you've made that simple cry, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, a sinner. Then tonight, I want to be honest and sensitive, but tell you that you are numbered among the unbelieving. And tonight, you see what it says at the end of the verse. You cannot enter heaven, but will be in the lake of fire for all eternity. The reality tonight, as I stand before you, is that the determining factor for eternity is what you have done with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only factor that will determine where you will be. Either you have received Him or you have rejected Him, and there's no middle ground. That alone will determine your eternity. What you did with the one who went to Calvary's cross and bled and died for you will determine whether it's heaven or lost. I see Him hanging on that cross, His head has that crown of thorns, beaten down with a reed. His face has been pummeled by the Roman soldiers, and the blood flows on His face. But the blood from the head of the Lord Jesus Christ covers every sin that I can think of. The blood flows from the hands nailed to a cross. The blood from His hands covers every sin that I can work at. Blood from His feet covers every sin that I can run to. The back, whipped by the Jews with a whip of ropes, and then scourged by the Romans with that whip of that scourge of 9 strands of bone and metal. And I said this morning that Josephus Flavius says that his very innards would be hanging out. But the blood from the back of my Savior covers every sin that I can put my back into. Then they take a spear, they shove it into his side, and it pierces the pericardial sac, and blood and water comes forth. From around the heart, the blood from His heart covers every sin that of my passion. Tonight, friend, I thank God that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from every sin, from all sin. And tonight, what you do with that work on the cross, what you do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will determine where you spend eternity. What will you do? Will you come to Him tonight? Will you cry, Lord, save me? No, I will not have this man to reign over me. The answer will determine where you spend eternity. What death is? It's real and it's sure. Secondly, when death can come, it comes rapidly and suddenly. We'd like to leave some examples of a variety of fields tonight where death came suddenly. I played a particular sport many years ago. I know some of you think I'm only the shape of the ball tonight, but it wasn't always like that. But Ian McCullough was a young 15-year-old schoolboy playing hockey, a couple of years older than me at school. Ian was facing a free hit out on an old grass pitch. The ball had a bump, and he missed it with a stick, and it hit him in the chest and broke his ribs. One of the ribs pierced his heart, and Ian was in eternity before he hit the ground. We all know of Joey Dunlop, Northern Ireland's world champion motorbiker. But he went into eternity against a tree in Estonia. Ayrton Senna, the world champion car racer, same thing, hit by a tire in the head. Philip Hughes, an Australian cricketer, missed a bouncer. The ball missed his mask, hit him in the neck, and Philip Hughes is in eternity. 96 football fans at an FA Cup semi-final all those years ago, all cut down doing what they loved, and into eternity. Accidents happen. We're always hearing about deaths in the roads of Northern Ireland, of plane crashes, of trains derailed. We saw that one this week where the train came off the bridge. Boats sank. Accidents happen. People go to eternity. But have they prepared? Nature, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornado, fire. In the last 14 months, add in pestilence. Natural causes. I think back to many years ago in work. It's about 20 years ago now, I suppose. Two porters in work, as we called them then. One of them had a heart attack. The other one ran. He gave him a kiss of life, a former firefighter. But he didn't know he had a worse heart than the one that had collapsed. He tried to give him a kiss of life. He took a massive heart attack himself with the stress. And of the two, he was the one died first, and the other one died shortly after him. Died giving a man a kiss of life. Death can be sudden, friends. Daniel 5 and verse 23 says, "And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" God in whose hand thy breath is. And if before this meeting was over, he was to close his hand on your windpipe, where would you be? Where would you spend eternity? Have you cried, "Lord, save me"? No, I will not have this man. What death is, it's real and sure. When death can come, it can come rapidly and suddenly. What death does, it removes and it separates. Death is no respecter of persons. Death removes our loved ones. It breaks families and it breaks the heart. Death brings tears, it brings grief and it brings sorrows. Relationships are ended, it separates. Death creates widows and widowers. Death leaves children without a parent. And so often it can leave people bitter and angry with gone. It can turn us into introverted people. It can leave us unable to cope. I think of a lady I did business with. Alison was a lovely lady. But she was unable to cope with losing her father. Took her into a valley of depression. Brings about loneliness, a lack of belonging and a sense of helplessness. She had to give up her job because she couldn't cope. Didn't know where to turn. Not saved. Death really is the most horrible, ugly, terrible, sad thing. One day each of us will cause someone, some or all of those things, with our death. But as the mourners go about the street, will we have compounded it by leaving no testimony of having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Or will we leave that comfort and hope that we have called upon Him? Sir or Madam, tonight, can I tenderly but honestly ask you a question? Why put your loved ones through more than you need to? Why put them through even more, believing them with no testimony and leaving them in the situation to you they're saying goodbye rather than just good night? Why put your loved ones through it? It's a tough enough time. Why make it worse when you come and call on his name tonight? What death is? It's real. It's sure. When death can come, it can come rapidly and suddenly. What death does, it removes and separates. What death needs, as I come to a close, is repentance and salvation. In the light of death, impending death, date yet to be determined, but possibly closer than we would like, closer than we would expect or hope, surely the need tonight is to prepare and to be ready for eternity. We need God's salvation in order that we may not go to a lost hell and then to the great white throne judgment and ultimately to the lake of fire. The only way we can avoid those places, the only way we can be ready for eternity, is to come to Christ, repenting of our sin, realizing that in us there dwelleth no good thing, confessing that sin to him, believing solely and completely and utterly and only on the finished work of Calvary, believing that he paid our price and that his blood covers it all. As I've already said, it doesn't have to be long or eloquent. All we have to do is simply ask, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I repent of my sin and base my eternity on the work of the cross. Please save me. Will you turn to him? Prepare for death. Prepare for eternity. Will you come now and call on his name? I've mentioned the gospel mission that we've started this afternoon. About, I suppose it's 2 or 3 years ago now, we did a mission in Corridor. I'll never forget it. On the Wednesday afternoon at about 5 o'clock, we knocked the door, spoke to a lady, shared salvation with her and her need of it, and the way of salvation. That was Friday at 5 o'clock. Or sorry, Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Just over 36 hours later, Friday morning, at 10 o'clock, that lady fell down the stairs and broke her neck. It was in eternity. I don't know what happened in the intervening 36 hours, but suddenly she was taken, suddenly cut off. And if she didn't repent in those 36 hours, she's lost tonight. Harvey tells of a story. He did a similar mission, albeit in a tent, many years ago. He held his hand out. In those days, you could shake hands and so on. He held his hand out to shake hands with a young man. The young man says, I don't want that stuff. And he refused to shake his hand. I'm going out to enjoy this world. A few moments later, there was a white flash, went past the tent, over the hill, and on a merciful bang, the man at the door ran over the hill, but Harvey knew what it was before he got there. Opened the door of the car, and there, dead over the wheel, was the young man a few minutes before had said, no, I don't want that stuff, I'm gone to enjoy this world. Sir, madam, tonight, young person, the reality is I cannot promise you tomorrow. I cannot promise you you'll be back here next week to hear Pastor Moffat. I cannot promise you you'll even get out through the door tonight. I cannot promise you you'll get home. The only thing that I can promise you is will you, if you come and call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you now and he'll save you for eternity. Will you come and call on his name while you have opportunity? Before we sing our final hymn, let's have a brief word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence at the end of this meeting, being solemn. We thank thee for the presence of the Spirit of God. Lord, if there be one tonight that knows not the Saviour, we pray that they will put their trust in thee. Lord, now that the human voice is silent, we pray that thou will give the saving grace. We ask it in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Our final hymn will come up on the screen any second. And life at best is very brief. Life at best is like a very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Be in time tonight, friends. If I can be of help to anyone, I'll see you after the meeting. We'll find a quiet corner. I'll take as long as I can. We'll stay socially distanced and all of that. And I'll not push you or buttonhole you into something you don't want to do. But make sure you get right with Christ tonight, because you don't know when eternity will be before you. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.
Lord, we just thank thee for thy presence with us this evening. We pray now that thou would take us to our separate homes in safety. And Lord, we pray that every single one under the sound of thy word this evening will be in time. And we ask it all for the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.